Also, remember to pick up discipleship lessons that are printed out there with your name on them on the table if you're doing those. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. And we're still looking at our inner self today. We're going to look at the idea of superiority. The Bible word that is used mostly for that is high-mindedness. And we preached a message a while back on inferiority. There are people in this world who hold themselves of little to no worth, and they need to understand that God holds them of high worth and the fact that he sent Jesus Christ to die for them. But then there are people in this world who hold themselves of such high worth, and they don't realize, and we need to really, before we even read this, we need to a little bit set the stage, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. For as by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. A man at his very best state is a sinner who deserves to go to hell because he has sinned against a holy God. We have violated God's laws. We have violated God's commandment. It is in our very nature to do so. Now, I am thankful that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross, and he died to pay for my sins. He died because I was a wicked sinner on my way to hell, and God said, I love you. I want to pay that price for you. I want to save you. And when we get saved, and we understand who we were, and we understand what that means, there is no point for any superiority left in any of us. We should be humble. We should be humbled by the fact that someone else had to pay our price. We should be humbled by the fact that we were not good enough. We should be humbled by the fact that we were bad enough. And so let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 5. It says, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That word soberly means, in this case, it is realistically. It's not under the influence of some weird thing like self-esteem and positive self-esteem and, oh, you're so great and you deserve, like we talked about in Sunday school, you deserve this and you deserve that. But to think realistically, and realistically is, I was a sinner in need of salvation. I am a sinner, and Jesus saved me. It took Jesus dying on the cross for me. That's realistic. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And it goes on and talks about people have different gifts. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us. Lord, today we are in need of you. Father, we're in a big room with many people. God, I pray that each one of us would be looking right now and saying, God, I want you to speak to me. God, I need your help. God, if we're thinking right now, I don't need anything from the Word of God, that in and of itself is high-minded and an attitude of superiority. God, I pray that you would help us to walk humbly with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, our attitude, and this attitude affects everything around us. It affects our work. You know, this idea of superiority leads to some different questions. And you know, when a person asks the question, well, why didn't I get chosen? Or why didn't I get the promotion? Or why didn't I? That is an attitude that comes from superiority. It is an attitude where a person thinks that they were more deserving than someone else. That is high-mindedness. And the other way of putting that is this. Maybe a person does not ask and look and say, why did I? Maybe they say, well, why did they? And what you're doing is lowering them, and you're giving the impression that they are lower than me. So why did they get this? Or why did they get that? This affects our work. You know, you go to work and the boss says, hey, this is the job I need you to do at this moment, at this time. You shouldn't have an idea, well, that job's beneath me. You know, there is no job beneath us. Yesterday, I wrapped my arms around every toilet in this building. Okay, you get the top, you get the bottom, you reach down underneath. There isn't a job that is, oh, that's beneath me. It doesn't work like that. You know, you look at family and family spirits and attitudes and things that take place in a family unit. And, you know, when you get a family member that thinks they're better than someone else, it's like that idea of, well, you have to pick up after me. Pick your own socks up. Now, I'm not saying that somebody can't help you out. But this idea of everybody's my servant. No, we all ought to have an idea of we are serving in our families. Even this mentality of what we eat. You know, you think about, how many of you just really, you like liver? You would love to see liver come on your plate. Okay, we got a couple, four, five. Okay. You know, and, you know, you get this idea of liver. And you mentally, it just kind of like, ugh. But, you know, one day, I was so glad to see liver. Moses and Tina had us over for pepper soup. And there's a piece of stomach number one, there's a piece of stomach number two, there's a piece of kidney. Liver! Liver all of a sudden looked really good in that bowl of soup. You know, but the idea of I deserve only this kind of food. You know, when people live on a level of poverty, you know, they made it because they liked it, not because they were poor. But when people live on a level of poverty, they eat every scrap of everything. We're a very wasteful society. We really are. But it comes down to our mentality. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, describes the latter days, the end times. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." And he says, look, they're going to be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be high-minded. We live in a society that is very much every person, it's been said this, if you could buy a person for what they are worth and sell them for what they think they're worth, you'd be making some pretty good money at that point. So I want to look at this idea, and I want to look at five things concerning it. Number one is this: know yourself. Know yourself. In a realistic, as the Bible said, think soberly. Give a proper and real assessment of who you are, and put yourself, to really know yourself, put yourself up against a thrice holy God. Look at God Almighty, look at the Lord Jesus Christ who came to this earth and lived a 100% pure, sinless, perfect life and then went and died on the cross for you and me. Take the King of Kings who thought it not robbery to be equal with God but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a man, the King of Kings, God Almighty, God the Son, became like you and me, took on himself, he encompassed himself in a human body. You want to talk about degrading and lowly? See, Jesus Christ claimed no superiority, though he was absolutely superior. So let's look at, again, we looked at Romans 12 and verse 3. A man ought not to think of himself more highly than he ought. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. The Bible makes this statement here, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." There are people that think, "I am not going to fall into that sin. I don't need to be cautious." And you know what? The Bible says we need to know ourselves. Do you know what? You and I and the person down in jail this morning have the same sin nature. You and I and the heroin addict and the drunkard have the same sin nature. You and I and the person out committing adultery or fornication this morning have the same sin nature. And the Bible says, if you think, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You know who falls into sin? People that think they're not going to. You know what? I know better than to go down and hang around a bar or people that are drinking. Why? Because I could end up a drunkard. You know what? I have a wife, and I could come down here and I could sit down by my wife and sit real close and comfy. Why? She's my wife. You know what I ought not do? Is sit down like that with his wife. See, that's his position. Yeah, and I would deserve to be dead, okay? Christians all over that one. Execute the pastor. But you know what? We look at this and we understand when a person says, "Oh, I can get all close with a woman that's not my wife and I won't fall into sin." Those are the people that fall into sin. It's because they refuse to know that they have a sin nature just like everyone else's. And so what do? We look at it and say, "You know what? I'm going to stay away from alcohol because I'm capable of falling into that sin. I'm going to stay away from smoking and drugs and all that." Why? Because I'm capable of falling into that sin. We have to put guards and safeguards in place and we protect ourselves. Why? Because we need to know ourselves, and the Bible very clearly explains we have a sin nature, and if we're not careful, we're going to fall. And when do we fall? Right when we think that we're standing. "This isn't going to affect me." You better be careful. 2 Corinthians 3, 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. We need to know ourselves. It says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." You know what? I am not sufficient and cannot be sufficient to earn my way to heaven. The Apostle Paul makes this entire list concerning himself. He says, "I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. I'm blameless." And he lists out all of these things and he says, "I used to trust in that. And then I found out, then I looked at a holy God and compared myself to a holy God and I found out I needed a Savior." And sometimes people think, "Well, I've been going to this church all of these years. Are you saved? I've attended here since I was this big. Are you saved? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you trusting Jesus or are you trusting your church attendance? Are you trusting Jesus or are you touching your ministry participation? Are you trusting Jesus or are you trusting your goodness? When you go to pray, do you look and say, 'God, you should answer my prayer because I'?
Or do you go to God and say, by the grace of God, I can come boldly before the throne of grace, not because of I, but God is my sufficiency and Jesus Christ is my Savior. He died for me, and that's the only reason I have any ability to ask God for anything. We need to realize just how low we are. We need to know ourselves. You know, somebody makes a mistake and somebody's superior. We could use any illustration. You take the choir. Guess what? In any kind of a choir situation, somebody's going to make a mistake somewhere along the line. Right? The pianist might make a mistake. The alto part might make a mistake. Somebody's going to make a mistake. Wednesday night, Brother Tanks was leading the songs. And I got halfway through the verse and I realized we're singing different verses. Now, he was leading, so it was my fault. I'm like, wait a minute. His words are sounding different than mine. You know, we make mistakes, don't we? You know, a person, you know, and guess what? We can chuckle at those mistakes. Look, I made it. I own it. Somehow or another, I wasn't paying attention to which verse he said, or I wasn't paying attention to what words were coming out of his mouth. I made it. And you know what? People can make mistakes, and we can have fun with that. But about the time that we get critical of someone else's error, well, you know what happens? We're high-minded.
Well, I'm better than that person. I didn't make that mistake. Well, if they'd do a little bit better, then we'd sound better as a whole. Look, who are we? Who are we?
Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. Says this, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And then verse 4 goes on and says, let every man prove his own work. You know what? Don't talk about it, just do. You don't have to talk about how great you are or how faithful you are or how this or how that. Just do. You know what? When people are faithful, people recognize it. When people live for God, people recognize it. When people do right, people recognize it. We don't have to go around proclaiming it to everybody. We need to know ourselves. You know, the devil studies our strengths and our weaknesses. So should we. And I'm not talking about studying his strengths and his weaknesses. I know all that. No. But I'm talking about, you know, I need to study my strengths and my weaknesses. Why? Because the devil wants to take you and I down. The devil wants to destroy us, and he's looking and he's saying, where's your weak points? And that's where he's going to come. And if we don't know ourselves, if we just go around, oh, I'm great. Got our nose in the air, walking around. Oh, I'm so great, I'm so great, I'm so great, I'm so great. Well, you are a sitting duck for the devil. Be sober, be vigilant. You have an adversary out there. And when we get all high-minded about who we are, and when we start trying to wear the reputation of someone else, ever see two people? One of them works hard, one of them don't. They finish the job, and the one that didn't work as hard speaks the loudest about what a great job they did. That's society. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. It says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you.
For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest of apostles, though I be nothing. The apostle Paul here, he makes the statement, says, look, I'm nothing. You know what Paul does when he is weak? Guess whose power gets emphasized? God's. God's. And we need to understand, we are nothing. If God chooses to do something or use us or bless us in some way, praise be to God. And the Apostle Paul, he says, look, I realize how lowly I am. I'm nothing. But he says, what was the problem? The problem in the Corinthian church is there was a whole bunch of pride going on. There was a whole bunch of superiority going on. There was actually a contest between the people. Well, I was baptized by this person. I was baptized by this person, so I'm better than you. And they were arguing for superiority. And Paul says, look, if we're going to compare, he says, I could stand way up here above y'all. And he says, and I know I'm nothing. So let's just take it down a notch and realize our sufficiency is of God. So number one, know yourself. Know yourself. Number two, accept yourself for who you are. What I mean by that is not, well, this is who I am. I'm not going to try to change. That's not what we're talking about. And we're not talking about, well, this is the sin that I'm in, so I'm just going to go with it. No. What we are talking about is we need to realize the level we're at, accept that level, and then look to God to help us to move forward for Him. Why stay at the same place? But see, we live in a world where everyone wants to perceive themselves better than they are. I mean, somebody shows up for work on time 3 out of 5 days, and the world we're in, they're patting themselves on the back. And those that are from the older generation are like, what in the world? Why, you got nothing to pat yourself on the back about. But that's our society. Some people are like a store with a big display, but you get inside and there's no product on the shelf. Ever seen the advertisement? You walk into a store and they're advertising this great deal. And you walk in, boy, I'm here for the deal. Oh, well, you know, we don't have it. Then take the advertisement down. Take the advertisement down. We just sold out. Yeah, because they had two of them. It's there to get you in the door. And I think there's some places that give you this thing called a rain check. 3 months from now, when we get that product back in, if you remember that you got a rain check, you can come in. If you keep track of it. We need to accept where we're at realistically. And then say, now let's move forward for God. We are not going to grow as Christians if we do not first realize where we're at. And we don't realize that by looking around and comparing ourselves among ourselves. We look at it by comparing ourselves with God. And when I get in comparison with God, you know where it puts me? All the way down here. Now, if I make the mistake of comparing myself with other people, you know, I might could feel good about myself compared to some. And then there's people out there who put me to shame. But when any of us compare ourselves with God Almighty, we realize, yeah, I need help. I am insufficient. Thirdly, acknowledge that all you have is a gift from God. Romans chapter 12 again, back in our text verse, it goes on. Romans chapter 12 It talks about us all being members of one body. And then it goes on to verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is what? Given to us. Okay, can you do something for God? Thank God for it. Thank God for it. You know, find and use the gifts that God has given you. Do you have the gift to be able to teach? Then walk with God, get right with God, and put that gift to use. You have a musical talent or ability? Boy, put that to use. I'm sure Brother Schrock would not be opposed to having a few more people in the choir. Right? In fact, I think we got, well, we got 10 extra chairs or something like that. Look, now, we have some requirements for it because we want to honor God. But you know what? You know, especially you get to a Sunday morning, and especially a Sunday morning where you've got these people that are headed out as missionaries, so they're missing today out preaching in another church. This one's out in Serbia today, and these ones are teaching in junior church, and the choir on a Sunday morning. Come back tonight, the choir's bigger on a Sunday night. You know, you think about that, that's almost the opposite of what is normal. That's because everybody's back in here. But find and use the gifts God's given you. You a good decorator? Boy, there's decorating that needs done from time to time. Food? You good at food? Boy, there's functions that go with that. There's, you good at maintenance or cleaning? You know, there's occasionally things that have to be fixed. And, you know, put it to use, what God has given you. And remember this, no two people are the same. Don't look at, well, I did this for the Lord. Well, and this person didn't. Well, maybe they did something for the Lord that you didn't. Maybe they didn't have a lot of talent, but they spent an hour praying for the service today. And you would never know that, and I would never know that, but God would know that. Fourthly, accept others. Look at Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, we're different. But you know what? We accept people. I tell people often, I say, look, we take everybody right where they're at and say, let's just make one step toward God. I can't take someone. We're not looking to turn you from a newly saved sinner into super Christian in a week. How many people here have been saved over 20 years? Now, of those that have been saved over 20 years, how many of you are super Christian? Yeah. How many of you think, you know? But we look at it and we understand, you know what? I still need to be closer to God. I still need to grow. There's things that God is still convicting me about. And I've been doing this for quite a while. Now, at the same time, we don't look at it and just say, well, I'm good where I'm at because nobody else has arrived either. No, but we're striving. Striving for those things that are ahead. Looking forward. Getting to know God more. Developing that relationship with God more. I appreciate older people that are faithful to the Lord. It's a blessing to me, and it's a blessing to watch them because it gives me hope for my future. Sometimes I look at it and think, can I do another year of this? And the truth is, I can't unless God helps me. I look and I think, you know, 88, 89, 90 years old. Hip surgery last week, coming into church today. You know what? That's a blessing. And they're not doing it for a show. They're doing it. They just want to be in God's place on God's day to hear God's message. And we're not perfect. But we need to accept other people.
Well, that person, they...
How about just look at you? The Bible talks about the mote and the beam in the eye. How about we start by looking at ourselves? You know, a person that's cutting down other people all the time has a superiority problem. And we're not talking about sin and, you know, look, sin is sin and sin needs to be called out and sin needs to be condemned under all circumstances. But God puts together a church family, a church body to be used for His glory. And we need to accept others. Philippians 2:3 says this, and this is a great verse. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." That's a great verse. And if we would practice that, it would change our whole perspective. But you know what happens is two verses later, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." And then he tells how Jesus left heaven and became man so that he could die for us. He says, look, Jesus is the example for that. And then lastly, just use what you have for God's glory. Matthew 5:16 tells us to be a light for him. 1 Corinthians 10:31 makes this statement, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 says this, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." What ultimately is it about? It's about His glory. You know, God takes people who are nobodies, and God does great things with them. But it's all about His glory. Do you strive in your life to bring glory to God? Revelation 4:11 says this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." And what, will you just use your body to be the temple of God? If we would just realize, God, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. I am humbled that your Holy Spirit would come and move into this dirty vessel, and that you would make me a new creature. I couldn't do it on my own. And God, if I'm going to live for you today, God, I'm going to need your help, because in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. And you know what? If we have that spirit, we're not then walking around saying, "What's Brother Schrock doing? What's Brother Jacob doing? What's Anders doing?" You know, we're not walking around because we're looking at it saying, "God, I need help. God, I'm insufficient. God, I have my own weaknesses that I have to deal with." Now, sometimes as a parent, do you have to look at the sins of your children and deal with them? Absolutely. As a pastor, sometimes you have to deal with things in a church? Absolutely. But this mentality of superiority, this mentality of, "I'm up here." You know, I look at, you got to be careful. Get out in a rainstorm, you might drown. Get that nose turned up so high. Humility, the absolute opposite of superiority. And may God help us to walk humbly with our God. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Let me ask you to think about this. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? And I want you to think about this. If you say, I would go to heaven, why do you think that? If it has anything to do with you, you better check things out. If so, I wouldn't go to hell because if it has anything to do with you, the only reason I wouldn't go to hell if I died today is because when I was a boy, I asked Jesus Christ to save me. I believe that He died for me. I realize He's the only way to heaven. Nothing I could do could ever get me there. And I asked Jesus to save me. My hope, my confidence, my trust is in Him. And if we're going to live a Christian life, we need to just walk by the book. And we don't get to, well, I don't like that. That's superiority. Well, that shouldn't be in the Bible. Okay, who made you God? Well, I disagree with that verse. I'm not going to change that. We need to deal with this inner problem of superiority. Let's stand to our feet. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If you're here and you're not saved, what I mean by that, if you're here and you were to die today, if you think, if I died, I'd go to hell. Jesus wants to save you. And if that's you today, if you don't know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven, when this piano begins to play, we're going to ask you to step out and come talk to us. We'll have somebody talk to you and they can explain to you how that you can know for sure that you'd go to heaven if you died. How that you can have forgiveness of sins. How that you can be reconciled to God. Because there's only one way, and that's through Jesus. And we need to take the Bible and show you that. If you're here and you're not saved, don't say, well, I'd be embarrassed. That's superiority. You've got no reason to be embarrassed. Everyone here that's saved at some point or another came and asked the Lord Jesus to save them. If you're here and you're a Christian, maybe the thought is in your mind, well, if I come down there, you're going to think that I have a superiority problem. If you stay in your pew, you do have. I'm not saying if you don't need to. I'm just saying if God convicted your heart and you don't come because of that, that is that problem. Father, we ask that you would help us now. God, we all have the same flesh. That flesh is wicked. It's ungodly. God, I thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. God, please deal with hearts now during the invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, if God's spoken to your heart today about something, I'd ask you to come. Is there anybody that needs to be saved? Brother Schrock, should we talk to him? Glad you're here. Brother Schrock will talk to you about salvation if you want to. Are you submitted to God? You have an attitude in your heart that says, I'm just fine. I'm glad Jesus didn't have that. I'm just fine up here in heaven. Jesus became a servant, a minister. Do you live your life for you, or do you live it for Him? We're in a very dangerous place if we won't let God deal with us and change us and mold us on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. Get that idea or spirit that I've arrived or I'm fine. We're in trouble. We're in a society right now that thinks more highly of themselves than the great generations of yesteryear, the men that tamed and broke this country. All right, come back tonight. Got the final message on my son tonight, and it'll be good. The Word of God is good. It'll be good. It'll be better than the Super Bowl. Okay? Well, I don't think so. And no, we are not going to sit a Bible down here with someone holding it and walk up and kick it out into the audiences like I've seen churches do on Super Bowl Sunday to try to make their event bigger than the Super Bowl. It's the Lord's Day. It's His. So may God help us and pray about this thing tomorrow. We're in a bad place in our country right now. And Christians need to be vocal, truthful. We need to speak out for the Lord, for truth, for the Word of God. Father, I thank You for all that You do for us. God, I pray for this young man that came for the very first time today. God, Lord, we want You just to work in his heart. God, I pray that You would help all of us just to be able to take a good assessment. Lord, let Your Holy Spirit deal with us on the inside. God, help us to correct our thinking about others and about ourselves and put ourselves humbly underneath You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great afternoon. Come back tonight. Hold on one second. I have one.